How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
He promised that there would be a latter rain in the church spiritual. In the last days, he'd pour out both former and latter rain. Remember, former rain come first, latter rain come second. Both former and latter rain in the same season. He promised it. Now, we'll notice what those rains are. Now he's saying to the church, there'll be a latter rain. The rain will fall in the last days, and we've had a latter rain.
That's the late William Branham. He is the father of the latter rain movement. He's not talking about the kind of rain that you hear forecast on television or the radio. He's talking about a spiritual rain, a pouring out of the Spirit. There was a former pouring out of the Spirit. And he promised his listeners all the way back in 1960, preaching that sermon and many other sermons, of a former and a latter rain all at the same time. It became the latter rain movement, and you can find it all over, especially in Pentecostal and charismatic wings of the Christian church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bob Leko of Discernment Ministries International joins us for the first part of this hour to talk about the latter rain movement, its history, his story with it, and where we find it today, what its theology is compared to that of Holy Scripture. Then a little bit later in this hour, we'll talk about the battle over same-sex marriage in New York State. Maggie Gallagher of the National Organization for Marriage will be our guest. You can join us as well with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page. You can leave questions or comments there on the Latter Rain Movement for Bob Leko, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Bob Leko is a regular guest, co-founder of Discernment Ministries International, based in Detroit, a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. Bob Leko, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Where would we find the Latter Rain Movement manifesting itself or claiming to manifest itself today?
Well, I would say today's, let's call them, I don't know, children or perhaps grandchildren of the original Latter Rain Movement would be people such as Bonnie Shabda, who is Mahesh Shabda's wife, people like Patricia King or Bill Hammond. Bernard Jordan, who's on television, is a student of Bill Hammond, who got called into the, in quotes, prophetic ministry through someone like William Branham back in the late 1940s. And then we have Paul Kane, who was still alive today, and he is one of the guys that was back way back in the original days, and he was America's foremost living prophet until it was uncovered that he was an alcoholic, unfortunately, and a homosexual. And when that was uncovered, then, you know, he fell from popularity. But again, he's one of these people that was back in the day and still with us today, carrying on that legacy.
What is, I mean, how would you put in a nutshell the theology of the Latter Rain Movement?
The theology could probably be boiled down to sort of a core belief in probably one of their favorite texts would be Acts 3:19, which speaks about the heavens, you know, receiving Christ until the restoration of all things, and then when all things are restored, then the Lord Jesus can return. The Latter Rain Movement is at its core a restoration movement in that they believe that God has to restore back to the church, ministry of the apostle and prophet, the pastor, evangelist, and teacher, which they would call the fivefold ministry, this has to be active and involved in the life of really every congregation. The earth literally must become Christianized, and then we hand the earth back to Jesus, a place that he can establish his kingdom. You know, once every knee is bowed, every tongue confessed. So it's a dominion movement as well. It's a restoration of kind of this apostolic Book of Acts, early church type mentality, as well as a dominion view that the church must indeed conquer this earth and subdue it, and then Christ can return. And that's basically it in a nutshell.
What kind of terms associated with the Latter Rain movement are you going to hear from its prominent preachers? What are those terms and how are they defined?
Oh, well, their number one favorite word, of course, is the anointing. And that is defined in a myriad of ways. It can be everything from just an independent power that God bestows upon people. The anointing may be the person of the Holy Spirit. The anointing can be something that you as an individual can increase in your life through devotion and prayer and fasting. That power can be drained from you by other people or through you actively ministering. If you go out and you've got Todd Wilkins' Miracle Crusade and you've laid hands on a couple thousand people, and you know that evening, by the end of the evening, we would have said, you know, Pastor Todd's been drained of the anointing. You know, he needs to go to the prophet's chamber and rest and meditate and just simply soak in the presence of God to recharge your spiritual batteries, which we know that's something, for instance, Benny Hinn does. He goes to Catherine Kuhlman's grave, and he goes to Amy Simple McPherson's grave site. And according to his own words, he goes there to recharge his spiritual batteries, to draw spiritual power literally from the bones of these two great women of God, who were both prominent Latter Rain type people. Isn't that interesting?
So there's the anointing.
That's their favorite word. Of course, miracles, signs and wonders, all believers that are empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of us are supposed to be going around our daily vocations, being used of God to work signs and wonders and miracles on our job and in our homes and our neighborhoods, left and right. Because, Todd, according to this offshoot of the Latter Rain movement today, let's call it the Signs and Wonders movement, they believe that miracles are what they call God's calling cards, that God uses miracles to create faith in the lives of people. And so he must empower his people to go out and work miracles in order to draw them to faith in Christ.
When they say apostles and prophets, do they claim that those who take those titles upon themselves actually have what the church should recognize as apostolic and prophetic authority?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They claim to have the same apostolic authority as the Apostle Paul or Peter or St. John. Any of these people in the Bible, they have that same authority. I've heard men stand up and declare that God was going to kill other people because they had that authority, you know, to consign someone over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, for instance. They had this apostolic authority, even though the individual they may have been talking to wasn't even a member of their direct congregation, but they had that spiritual, you know, authority. The same with the prophets. The prophets are the same as the prophets of the Old Testament and the New. They have that same insight, and which I always challenge, frankly, because if you're going to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and say something, at the end of that, then I guess everyone should transcribe that and cut it out and put it in the back of their Bible. If indeed God has spoken, the church should pay attention. On the other hand, if he hasn't, then we should acknowledge these people that are speaking falsely in his name and rebuke them soundly, which is what I'm about.
Bob Leko is our guest. We're talking about the Latter Rain movement. When we come back, he'll tell us his story about his involvement with the Latter Rain movement. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministries International, based in Detroit, and a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 22nd of June. Your questions or your comments on the Latter Rain movement, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Latter Rain movement. Bob Lico is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bob, you speak from experience here. You're not so old as to probably have sat at the feet of someone like William Branham, but certainly the movement you were involved with for so many years was a direct offshoot of this kind of Latter Rain theology. Tell us about your experience.
Absolutely. In fact, William Branham was and still is, frankly, highly respected amongst charismatic people in general. In fact, there are thousands and thousands of websites devoted to him and his teachings today. He's far more popular today since he died than at the time when he died, about 1965. But the group that I was a part of was the Word of Faith movement, which was pretty much started by Kenneth E. Hagin from Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Hagin is a child or a product of the Latter Rain movement. He was a very young man when William Branham and A.A. Allen and a young man named Oral Roberts and other guys were traveling all around America and the world in these huge tents right after World War II. And Hagin was a very, very small bit player at that time. Later on, he went, on to develop his teaching ministry in the late 60s and became very, very popular and became the fountainhead of the Word of Faith movement, which is based on a lot of the Latter Rain concepts, such as Hagin believed in the restoration of apostles and prophets. Hagin himself was considered both a prophet and a teacher, and he did serve as a pastor for a period of time. So he sort of almost encompassed all of the fivefold gifts and certainly worked as an evangelist, a tent meeting revivalist. And so he certainly claimed that the fivefold ministry was back in operation. He certainly believed in all of the supernatural sign gifts of the Holy Spirit that we see in the book of Acts and read about in 1 Corinthians, believed in dreams and visions, reported that Jesus appeared to him 9 times in his life. So this was the movement that I was familiar with that is run now, that Kenneth Hagin is dead. Perhaps some listeners are more familiar with people like Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Marilyn Hickey, Fred Price, Charles Capps, Jesse Duplantis, Paul and Jan Crouch. All of these people are disciples of Kenneth Hagin and are Latter Rain adherents. And they're the most popular people on Christian television and in bookstores today.
During your time in this movement, what did you believe you were part of? What did you think was happening?
Well, we certainly felt that we were the spiritual elite in the body of Christ. We believed that we had been given this second, depending on the group you're in, or third baptism, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. We had received an additional endowment of power, you know, which was evidenced by us speaking in other tongues. That was kind of the gateway into the other gifts of the Spirit, if you will. So we were better than other Christians. We were more spiritually alert, attuned. We were engaged in spiritual warfare, you know, very vigorously coming against the unseen powers and principalities over our cities and nation and world. We were the spiritual juggernaut. We were the tip of the spear kind of people. And this is what these people believe today. And certainly we would acknowledge that, well, Lutherans, yes, Martin Luther was a reformer. He was God used him in restoration, restoring certain truths to the church. You know, but then, of course, God went on from Luther to Wesley and other people like that. And we just kind of add all of those little stones together, and then you end up to the Latter Rain, where God's restoring all of the truths back to the church. So we would look at a Lutheran and say, you're going to go to heaven. He's not going to get much reward. You'll make it in. And some Catholics and Baptists, they'll make it in. But the Spirit-filled, well, they're going to have the crowns and the, you know, the big robes and everything else. That's what we believed about ourselves, unfortunately.
And the sign of this were these miraculous signs that attended both the teachers and those who sat at their feet?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that was the thing that really impressed people about William Branham. And anyone that's listening can go online, probably on YouTube or any place, and see almost all the videotapes that he ever made. His people, you know, put them up there. And it was pretty amazing. I've got them all. I used to watch Branham when I was a charismatic extremist and used to weep when I saw this guy. You know, Todd, I mean, people came and stand before him and they go, I don't know you, but, you know, you're not here for yourself. They go, yeah, okay, nod their head. He'd go, you want to know where your husband is. The lady would go, well, yeah. You go, he's in bed with his redheaded secretary, and he'll be dead in 6 months. And it would happen. So, you know, well, you know, he had signs and wonders following him, and that's what he pointed to prove his doctrine. William Branham denied the Trinity, did not believe that there was one God in three persons.
What did he teach instead of the Trinity, Bob?
Well, Jesus only. He was a modalist. Jesus was the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the, you know, kind of almost basic oneness theology today, although he was not officially a member of the oneness, you know, Apostolic Pentecostal Church, the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. He wasn't a part of that, but he believed that. And he taught a lot of other nonsense. In fact, Kenneth Hagin, after Branham died, when he was hit, it's a long story, he was hit by a drunk driver, pulled from the wreckage, still alive. Hagin, and this is according to his own testimony, it's on tape and in his writings, that they were told, you know, they told him, that a certain, you know, prophet had been in an accident, come pray. And he said, no, I'm not going to pray. He's going to be dead on a certain day. And he did. He died on this day, and Hagen went to his safe, allegedly, and unlocked his safe and removed a sealed envelope stating, you know, about Branham's demise. Now, this is important. Hagen said, Branham was a true prophet, but a false teacher. Now, how do you work that in your head?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm still trying to figure that out. In other words, Hagen said he should have stayed in the prophetic ministry, but Branham erred in that he veered over into the teaching ministry and began to teach doctrine, and he didn't understand doctrine, so he taught false doctrine, thus being a false teacher, yet a true prophet. Now, I say, if I'm hearing the voice of the Lord as his prophet, wouldn't the voice say, son, you're teaching error? Sit down and shut up? I would think so, you know. But that's the kind of oxymoron or I don't know what you, enigma or whatever, that's in some of the thinking within the charismatic movement, that you could be a false teacher and yet a genuine prophet, or vice versa, I assume.
It sounds like much of the Latter Rain movement and your experience with it was marked by this notion that God is kind of progressively revealing things to the church, that we never really have the whole truth until this Latter Rain comes and it all the puzzle pieces kind of come together. But they are willing to hold mutually contradictory notions like the theology of Luther with their ideas with no real problem because the Spirit's always revealing something new. Is that a fair reading there with about a minute here?
That is a perfect summation. That's exactly what's going on. The church, you know, started off, I guess, the early church days with the insight, revelation, knowledge, whatever you will, of the Lord. Somehow over the centuries, truths were lost, obscured, run over by human tradition or man-made doctrine or whatever. And then God, over time, has been progressively restoring these great truths back to the church, to the place where everything is complete, and then, as it was complete when the Lord left, then it's complete, he can return. When he left, there were, you know, apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, and signs and wonders. When he comes back, that's what he's going to find on the earth. However, the only problem is, as you know and I know, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says in the last days that many will fall away from the faith. Jesus, when he returns, he says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? There's nothing that says there's going to be this tremendous worldwide earth-shaking revival, a Christianization of the globe, and then Jesus will return, this great theology of glory. I don't see it in the New Testament anywhere.
Bob Liko is our guest. He's co-founder of Discernment Ministries International based in Detroit. He's a former Word Faith pastor and a graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. We're talking about the Latter Rain movement on this Wednesday afternoon, the 22nd of June. Feel free to give us a call with a question or a comment. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. We've left some space at our Facebook fan page for your questions or comments on the Latter Rain movement for Bob Liko this afternoon. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. What kind of questions or comments do you have about the Latter Rain movement? You'll find a link to Bob Liko's excellent blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. After 10 more minutes with Bob Liko on the Latter Rain movement, Maggie Gallagher, chairman of the board for the National Organization for Marriage, will be our guest. There's a battle in New York State over same-sex marriage. This is a big domino to fall. We'll see what Maggie thinks about it here in about 15 minutes on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A pattern of misconduct brings another conviction for Planned Parenthood.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In another example of misconduct uncovered among the abortion giant centers, an Ohio judge has ruled a Planned Parenthood affiliate violated a state law involving an underage girl. Although the 14-year-old girl was impregnated by her 22-year-old soccer coach, the clinic neither notified the authorities of the statutory rape nor the parents of her relationship with the man. The attorney representing the girl's parents in the case noted, "The health and safety of young girls is more important than Planned Parenthood's desire to perform an abortion."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Latter Rain Movement. Bob Alico is our guest. Bob, what I'm wondering about with regard to the teachers nowadays, I understand that even some of the former, brightest lights of the church growth movement from about 25 years ago now are involved in the new apostolic movement. They believe that there are apostles, that there are prophets. They claim global authority, not just local authority over congregations, but global authority. And they believe that signs and wonders are attending all this. Is this just the other end of the bookend, at least from our perspective, on what started with a guy like William Branham?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think what we need to do as a church is simply challenge a lot of their assertions. If you want to assert that God has indeed called you to be an apostle, I mean, Paul dealt with this, of course, in his letters. And what do we see, him responding to his critics, people that challenge his apostleship? You know, he said, "Hey, the signs of a true apostle were wrought amongst you." Okay, well, you say you have signs and wonders and you're a true apostle. Well, let's talk about that. What can you show us? Don't tell me that you put hands on somebody's head and they fall down. I mean, I don't even see that in the Bible as being a sign or a wonder, so show me something else. You know, don't say that somebody's leg grew out a half an inch or something. Show me a creative miracle. Do something that we see done in the Bible. They don't do that. They don't have that power. They don't have that authority. I think that we need to challenge them when they make these statements. When these great prophets stand up, and either through TBN or on the 700 Club or on the Internet, stand up and begin to prophesy great things. You know, this such and such is going to happen in the days ahead, saith the Lord. You know, the spirit of the church is arising in Nigeria and is going to do this or that. And it doesn't come to pass. Well, we need to call them on that and say, "You lied in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a hideous sin. Repent, fall on your knees and repent and cry out for mercy from God." We need to challenge these false prophets and these so-called restored apostles and false teachers at every step of the way and say, "That's not true doctrine, or that's not a true biblical orthodox Christian practice," and back it up with the Word of God and, you know, no longer be silent. We need to rise up again, as in Martin Luther's day, and be the church militant and deal with the enthusiasts that are amongst us.
Matt in Seward, Nebraska asks, what is the relationship between the Latter Rain movement and the International House of Prayer in Kansas City? Is Mike Bickle part of the Latter Rain movement?
Oh, absolutely. Mike Bickle is one of the, what was known, anyone on the internet can look up the Kansas City Prophets, and you'll find Mike Bickle amongst them. They were getting into a lot of spiritual abuse, some sexual misconduct, five of these men in Florida, in Kansas City. And Paul Kane was called in, of all people, kind of the fox in the hen house, was pulled out of nowhere and brought out of obscurity to be the prophetic voice to set these younger prophets in Kansas City together. Mike Bickle is one of these people. The International House of Prayer is based on the concept out of Acts, again, I believe the third chapter, where it talks about the house of David has been fallen down, or the tabernacle of David, I believe, has fallen down. Well, the tabernacle of David, according to charismatic belief, is a place where there's 24/7 praise and worship to God. So the International House of Prayer are centers around the, well, America, and I assume other places around the earth now, where people can go and pray and praise, you know, the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the idea that if we get enough of these places with enough people praying continuously, then we can move the hand of God. In fact, John Avanzini has a book out called How to Move the Hand of God. You can buy it in your local Christian bookstore today.
Julie in Oklahoma City says, thank you for talking about this today. What sounds logical and obvious to us outside these movements is just not so to my dear friends caught up in these movements. I need scriptural arguments for my brothers and sisters and ideas on how to share them. Please give us lots of scripture, says Julie in Oklahoma City. Your response,
well,
Bob?
Well, there are a lot of good books out there. I'm sure that your website, Todd, has a link to a bunch of good materials. Certainly they could go visit our website, New Discernment Ministries, and see what we've got. There are other things out there. We can't tell you over the radio, give you enough ammunition in 5 minutes how to answer all the different questions, but there are answers out there. They're very good websites. Let Us Reason is one. Personal Freedom Outreach is another one. There are many good websites out there that do have solid biblical contextual arguments that validate what we believe as opposed to what the charismatic extremists are practicing.
In biblical terms, kind of respond to Julie in Oklahoma City. What is fundamentally flawed in terms of how they read the Bible? What is fundamentally contrary to Scripture about the Latter Rain movement, Bob?
Probably the belief that Scripture is that the Word of God, let me use Kenneth Hagin's terms, the Word of God is pregnant and that it's always giving birth. In other words, when you read, you know, Mark 11:23-24 about casting, you know, speaking to the mountain, casting into the sea, it may mean one thing to you today, but because God is alive, His Word is alive, that it may indeed mean something else 10 years from now. I think that's a very flawed hermeneutic. You cannot interpret Scripture that way. Scripture either has a meaning, and either we understand the meaning in its context and apply it properly, or we, you know, wrest it out of its context and misapply it and are led astray. Unfortunately, I think that's the biggest flaw. They have no good biblical hermeneutic. They don't understand the Bible in its context, and they don't believe that A is A. A may be A today. It's almost kind of a deconstructionist sort of view of language. What does is mean? You know, like Clinton said, what is? Well, that's sort of, what is prophecy? You know, what is an apostle? They begin to redefine these terms. And so when you say, oh, apostle, you think you're saying the same thing. It's like dealing with a cultist. You say Jesus and they nod their head and you think, oh, we're talking about the God, the Son, second person of the Trinity. Until you dig a little further. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. depends how they define Jesus. And these, again, today are no longer common terms. We've got to understand the terminology before we can really enter into dialogue with these guys.
So is the fundamental danger here twofold? One, how they read the Bible when they do read the Bible. You just addressed that. But also what we talked about a few minutes ago, and that is often what they teach is nowhere to be found in Holy Scripture, or is a rather obvious twisting or taking out of context of Scripture.
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest books that was out several years ago was written by a modalist, an avowed Jesus-only Pentecostal, Tommy Tenney, called The God Chasers. And there was this big kind of flash-in-the-pan movement. Everything was God Chasers, this and that. And he said in his book, The God Chasers, that the Bible was the dusty old footprints of where God had been. And we read the Bible to find, you know, the Bible leads us to the end of the trail where then new footprints that God has made are out there, but they're not in the Scripture. Now, how do you discern whether or not those are indeed the footprints of God or some lying, deceiving spirit? Well, you listen to the restored apostle and prophet, of course. They'll tell you. I don't want to stake my eternal life on some sinful, fallen man or woman saying, thus saith the Lord, when I have the Bible in my hand. And I believe personally with all of my heart that the Word of God is totally sufficient for all I need for faith and practice. I need no other book than that. I don't need a current word from a prophet or anything else. God's word is sufficient. And, you know, we've got to stick with that. And they've gone beyond that. That's the bottom line.
With only a minute, Bob, have they also, in practice, displaced the central message of Holy Scripture, that being Christ and Him crucified for sinners? About 30 seconds here, Bob.
I believe so. I mean, when Fred Price can stand up and Kenneth Copeland can stand up and say things that in their dialogues with God, that things like, well, son, if you had known what Jesus had known, you could have done what he did. So their view of Jesus is totally a different view than what we understand. Their view of Jesus is he was God, he came to earth, ministered totally as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like you and I today. We're men, anointed with the same Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said we're to do the things that he did. And if we're not doing them, then, well, shame on us. It's because we lack the power that these guys say they have.
Bob Liko is co-founder of Discernment Ministries International based in Detroit, a former Word Faith pastor and graduate of Robert Tilton's Bible School. Bob, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you, Pastor Todd.
Folks, if you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, here's a way that you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. It's called Thrivent Choice. It allows you to direct either your or their charitable funds to any organization you choose, and we're asking you now to choose Issues Etc. Do so by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You can enter Lutheran Public Radio when you find the Thrivent Choice logo there. Issuesetc.org, click support and support us through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. When we come back, Maggie Gallagher and the battle over same-sex marriage in New York State.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.